just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 704. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my toothful co-host, Ms. Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby in Austin, Texas. We stream this live on the internet at www.koop.org. We'll be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Taught me how to do it.
It is Wednesday, January 18th, 2023. On the show today, we have two guests. We have the Cold Town Theater, and then later on we'll be talking to Walking Shadow Shakespeare. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Prague, and Points North. Stay with us.
I'm gonna learn how to dress, how to dance. I'm gonna learn how to make an
impression. I'm gonna learn how to do whatever she's saying.
She's just telling you.
She is telling me. Nicole, welcome to Wednesday.
Hello, thank you.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, you're a little mumble mouthed because of why?
I had like a whole bunch of surgery on one half of my mouth. So much surgery they can only do half at a time.
There you go. Well, you're 50% here.
Yeah, so you know. You can't
well,
see. I have like.
I can see, but yeah. people will be able to see
no,
it on the webcam.
No, I was pointing to Lisa, going, "Can you see?"
Yep.
Great. So I have my face rearranged, but yeah, I'm here. Good.
But you look lovely.
Thank you.
And you're here. I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful
always
international folk bazaar.
The
I tell you what, I'm always amazed at how much he knows. Having done some music shows, it's not just as simple as like putting some music together. You have to like, he knows everything. He says, this was recorded in 1973 in Slovakia in a studio on Fifth Street. He knows everything.
He's a smart cookie.
Hey, guess what? We're actually a small group today.
That's okay.
Which is good.
I like that.
There was nothing complainy about that. Oh. That was just a statement of fact.
I like facts, just like Kim Simpson.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
So let's introduce Will Cleveland. Hi, Will. Oh, wait, don't say a word. Now say hi. Say something.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Will.
It's good to see you. We were just talking before you got on. I find it difficult to believe that you haven't been on this
that's
show
strange.
Before.
I don't
know. I don't have anything to do with that.
Well, you did, but not
that. Well, Lisa, that's a little zing.
Nicole, I'm getting my face done tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's
are you getting
fun.
It? What are you having
I'm
done?
Getting,
do you
I'm
want...
getting the half that she didn't get done today.
Oh, okay.
Rearranged on my face, really.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm not.
A good time.
I'm not. Well, hey, you recognize that song that we played?
Oh, Here Lies Love.
Here Lies Love. This, I am so excited when I heard it was coming
David
to Broadway.
David Byrne, Fatboy Slim, good stuff.
Yeah, so it makes complete sense, actually, because, you know, I was, Patty Neftivin and I went to see it at the Public
yes,
Theater.
Yes, yes,
amazing piece. Have you heard of this, Will, Here Lies Love?
I have not.
Well, you're going to hear all about it
yes.
now.
It's a musical
about Imelda
Marcos.
DeMarcus.
Did you see that coming?
But it's very... it's very
immersive.
What's the word? Immersive. Thank you. That's the word I was trying to remember. And you stand up through the whole thing, and then the stagehands push you around because there's scenery, big pieces of scenery coming around for you, around
so
you
they
and moving.
Guide or usher you? You're like they push.
No,
you
they
around.
Push you.
I know.
They push you gently. And the actors are all around you and among you, and then there's a at the Public they have actually two. two levels that the actors were in. They also had video cameras because there's talking about the campaign of Ferdinand Marcos, and so there's always cameras and monitors all around. It was amazing, so exciting to see. And as soon as I left that theater, I looked at Patty and I said, "We are doing this at Ground Floor Theater, or we are going to steal the idea of how they put it together." And then I tried for about a year and a half to get the rights for this, and I could not. I got no answer. I got nothing. And so this was probably all in the plans
in the
to
works.
Come to Broadway. So they only did it one time. They did it in Seattle, and I want to say 2018, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'd be able to tell you. Anyway,
I think it might have been just a hair earlier. Not much.
Yeah. So they call it. Oh, so this is going to be. Clearly, it's in a Broadway theater, so it can't be quite as immersive as it was
Correct.
At the Public.
Yes,
but
yes.
They are getting rid of the proscenium, very much like the Great Comet did.
Yes,
they're turning it into a kind of a nightclub, and the audience will be, or much of the audience. They don't really say how much. Some will be seated, and some will walk around like I did. In the theater, and it is at the Broadway Theater, and it was just so much fun. It's going to start previews in June on June 17th.
I know.
Opens a month later on July 20th.
This is like Back to the Future musical time, and like I don't know what between the Groves back on stage, Back to the Future the musical, and this like this is just like
I'm going to say that I could be wrong. I can't believe that the Broadway experience would be as good as the off-Broadway experience. Just because it was so...
Listen, I felt the same way and was so angry about Hedwig. Remember that? I was like, it was made for an off-Broadway stage. Yep. This is absolutely wrong. This is just...
But you liked it on Broadway?
I what they did and how they did it, got it. It wasn't better off Broadway. Oh yeah.
It oftentimes doesn't work. Like In Transit, which was really good off Broadway, when I saw it Circle in the Square, I was going.
Little Shop's another one.
Little Shop
on Broadway.
It does work,
but it works way better off Broadway.
I agree. Although the revival is
off Broadway.
Yeah, I know.
Big difference. I'm saying of the recent Broadway one. Sorry, my
it's okay.
Didn't
I'm just waiting for you to finish so I can talk.
Okay.
Are you finished?
Uh-huh.
Promise?
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, the only time I saw, I didn't see it on Broadway, but I saw the roadshow that came through, and I thought they did a really good job of intimatizing it at the Bass Concert Hall. So I thought they did a pretty good job. Anyway, Alex Timbers is going to direct it. And it is
he's
going to be
a little talented that
yes,
Alex
he's
Timbers.
Gonna go somewhere. I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm
for
so
this.
Excited. And that's around my birthday, which means you're going to have to come up and see Back to the Future and that with me.
The choreographer is Annie B. Parson. I don't know if that's the team that did it, at the,
I can't remember to be honest.
But
with
also
you.
Ruthie Ann Miles was in it. And I believe she's going to reprise. Is she reprising her role?
I don't know. That means we'll actually get a cast album because the other album is a concept album, which is a great album. Don't get me wrong.
Well, it's a concept album with the cast.
But not all of it. It's a little bit different. And there's some
changing. Well, actually, the piece.
And there's a few famous people and other stuffy. But it would be cool to have like a cast album along with the concept. It would be really cool that.
Yep. Hopefully it will get a cast album. Not everybody does. We'll have to see how
I don't know. These days they like just spinning them out right and left for all these casts. So maybe.
True.
A girl could dream in jazz hand that it happens.
But I am very excited about Here Lies Love.
I saw it and I was like, oh, Lisa. Yeah. Oh, Lisa.
Very excited. I still would love to do it. I actually was in the... I forgot the man who played Ferdinand Marcos, but he spoke to me. He and I chatted, and I was on camera in the on the off-Broadway show. It was fun.
Well, that's
felt
exciting.
Like I was part of it. I was immersed.
You were immersed.
I was immersed.
Immersed. Yeah, that's a good. I like that. It's funny. It just came up like in my music when the playlist just randomly popped up. It popped up recently, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard you in a while. What a great album.
Yep. Yeah, and one would one would wonder if the story of Imelda Marcos would be that interesting, but it is extremely interesting. She had a very interesting life.
Yes, well beyond shoes.
Well beyond shoes, yes.
Lots and lots of
shoes. Yeah.
But the shoes are part of it.
A little bit, yep. Speaking of the Public Theater, there is the world premiere co-production along with the Bushwick star of... oh my God, what's his name? Ryan J. Haddock's show, Dark Disabled Stories. And it's telling stories about living in a world not made for disabled people. It's directed by Jordan Fine. It's set up as a series of vignettes. And it says this, quote, Disabled Stories is about disparate moments in my life. But when each of them happened, I was just hoping to have a regular day until someone, somehow, either directly or indirectly, reminded me that I was disabled, as if I wasn't already aware. They're ordinary, sometimes funny stories that turn dark because of the ways the world is taught to interact with disability, or the measures people take to avoid and ignore disability entirely. I'm excited for audiences to balk, laugh, and cringe with me about the way strangers can be very strange. I think this is
I like that. I love the word bulk, by the way.
Well, yeah. Can never have enough bulking.
No, I love that they use bulk in there.
It does not say in what way he is disabled. Not that that matters at all, but I think it's very interesting. And one of the things that they're doing at the show is every show will be open captioned, ASL interpreted, audio descriptions are integrated into the performance rather than into special evenings.
Evenings, yes. I saw that and I thought that was cool. My question that I didn't see, but maybe you know, are they different vignettes all in one night, or the different vignettes playing like in a series?
I think it's all in one night. Okay. It's a series of short vignettes.
Got it.
But
it's cool either way. I'm just was in my head trying to...
Yep. The public is also expanding their wheelchair and mobility access, and they have a Dazzle.
Do they really?
Yeah. Do you remember what Dazzle is? Not you.
Oh.
My listeners, and then we'll quiz Will. You know what? If I were to say Dazzle as it pertains to deaf theater.
Ah.
You won't get it, so I'm just going to say it. It's the director of artistic sign language. So they have one of those, and that's Andrew Morrill. So I think that's interesting.
We were talking about Dazzles last week. There was a great article in the New York Times about it and talking about working on productions here. And so
there was indeed. Do you see much or go to much theater, Will?
I go to as much as I can. I don't go as much as I would like.
Yeah.
No, because you're a busy person. You've got your own improv theater to run.
Well, yeah.
Which we're going to talk about in a second.
There's a lot going on.
I have a hard time. So there's a lovely article in the New York, the paper of record, the New York Times, written by Roslyn Sulkas about filming of Long Day's Journey into Night with Jessica Lange and Ed Harris. I actually thought that they talked about how much trouble they're having filming it. They're filming it in Ireland. Hold on,
Ireland.
Ireland. Yes, Wicklow.
Oh,
you know, that's what happens
people.
when I'm in my bath with candle running and the flame gets smaller. It's because the wick's low.
The wick's low.
The wick low.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, never mind.
I just don't have a rim shot sound effect, or you would have gotten boom boom.
So they're doing another film of Long Day's Journey into Night. Are you a fan of Long Day's Journey into Night or Eugene O'Neill?
I mean, I don't dislike it, but I mean, it's like heavy. How are you?
It's
like
heavy.
I mean, you know, that's just one of those when you're like, yeah, I'm a fan, man. Like that would disturb me almost. I think I appreciate it. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with it, Will?
I've seen it.
You've seen it. You saw the movie, or you've seen the play?
I saw the movie.
I was in it.
Were you?
You were in the movie?
Yes. No, I was. I did the play when I was a young child.
A youngin.
Anyway, filming began on September 9th, and then they had they found out the next day after filming starting that a big chunk of their financing fell through, and so they had to sit for like 3 weeks.
Oh, that's a bummer.
In Wicklow. But what happened was is they bonded as a cast. So the cast.
I would think so.
So Long Day's Journey Tonight is four people in a family. Mary, Tyrone, Jamie, and Eugene. Mother, father, and two sons. And so they were able to use that time, and they bonded more than you normally would. And I forgot whether it was Ed Harris or Jessica Lange that says typically they come in and do a show, they come in, they do their thing, and they leave.
I just want to get stuck with Ed Harris and Jessica Lange hanging out.
Wouldn't that be great? Now, I did not see. So Jessica Lange did this one, but I think there was a 2016.
She did it, yeah.
She did it along with, I'm going to find out who she did it with. I can't remember. But he was not available to do this film, and that's why they chose Ed Harris.
Well, that's Ed Harris isn't so shabby.
No, not shabby at all. And what's interesting with this performance or this show as it pertains to today's day in life. So Mary is addicted to not heroin. She's addicted to something.
A drug.
And but everybody's addicted in some way. And I just want to read this paragraph. Here are these four, addicted not just to drugs and alcohol, but to each other, endlessly going over the past and missed opportunities and failure. Trapped in a house by the sea, he said, somehow it felt resonant, talking about today's day with the opioid crisis, etc. Thought that was interesting. Yeah. Maybe I was the only one.
No, I was saying uh-huh, but I don't think I was saying it into the
Yep. So this is scheduled for release this fall. And I can just imagine Jessica Lange doing this role. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it or see any clips from it when she was on Broadway, mm-hmm. but she's a great Mary Tyrone.
Yes. So I would like to see this.
Yep.
And not because I'm a diehard fan.
I am a diehard
fan. I'm curious.
Yep. Me too.
Of all of this. I am a diehard fan of those actors yep. for sure, probably. I don't know, diehard fan, but I'm a fan.
You would be angry with me if we did not talk about this. So you may not know it, but there is a new production of Sweeney Todd coming out.
I cannot believe it. Who could possibly be starring in it?
So The Grobes and Annalee Ashford. And did you see this article that showed this?
The artwork?
Yeah. Well, photographs.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm showing it to Will. I'm showing it to Will. I'm showing it to Nicole. And now I'm showing it to the rest of the audience.
When you turn the screen around, it disappears.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's it looks beautiful.
It really kind
of
does.
It does look beautiful. And it's
directed. You know what else is beautiful? When the Grobe sings.
Yeah. It's directed by Tommy Kail of Hamilton.
Of the Hamilton.
Produced by Jeffrey Seller of the Hamilton.
Of the Hamilton.
Yeah. So. I think it's destined for success.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I just, the Grobes.
Okay, so here's a quiz for everybody here in the audience.
Another reason
all
why
of
2023 is just really awesome.
Here's a quiz for all of you in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
How many Broadway shows has Josh Groban been in?
One.
Okay, you win. How many Broadway shows has Annalee Ashford been in?
Oh, like four now, I think. Four?
You want to go with that? Is that where you're going to stop?
Four, five. I know she's done at least three.
Okay. You sure? You want to stop there?
Okay. Tell me.
Sure you don't
want
to go higher?
What is it?
You don't want to go higher?
I'm going to go
seven. Is it seven?
Yeah, you should have gone. You should have run with it.
Why?
You could have won. You could
have
won the
contest. Had you not played The Price is Right, I would have lost the Showcase Showdown. I hit my hand. There's a desk here.
Finally, we had a whole bunch of closings on Sunday.
Holy bananas, lots of closings.
Yeah, so Death of a Salesman, Mike Birbiglia's The Old Man in the Pool. I said it right the first time. Ohio State Murders, The Music Man, Top Dog, Underdog, and A Strange Loop. All closed on Sunday. Interesting thing about A Strange Loop, there's an article in the New York Times, which is really a... an interview with Michael O. Oh my God, what's his name?
Michael O. That man.
Yeah, the guy that
That dude.
Michael O'Jackson. Who wrote it and actually performed in it last week.
Do we not remember O'Jackson?
Yeah,
it slips my mind,
well, it's
too.
It's Michael R. Jackson. What's his name? There's another.
Oh, I know. Yes.
O person. Mm-hmm. Joshua. No, I don't know. Anyway, so at their closing night, he got a standing ovation when he went to his seat in the house.
Oh, yeah, I kind of like, that's a great moment. I like that.
Yeah.
That's special.
I
like that.
So this was one of these interview pieces. It's in the New York Times. You can get a link to it at offstageonair.com. And some of the questions that he was asked was, for instance, the show won a Pulitzer and a Tony, but it's closing earlier than you would have wanted. Do you think the show was successful or not? I wanted to talk about this because I love the way he phrases things. He said, quote, "A strange loop would be a supernova that cuts across the firmament and then explodes." Do you like that?
Yeah, I kind of love everything about that.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
And this is, he didn't have a feud with Tyler Perry, but Tyler Perry has never seen the show, and they have I don't know what it is, but it said he said the interesting thing there is that Michael R. Jackson's comment to a question about Tyler Perry. He says, the interesting thing there is that he and I have a phone relationship. He called me right after the Pulitzer, and we text every once in a while, and we spoke recently. It's probably one of the most complex relationships in my life with someone whom I've never met.
That's interesting.
So I don't know what, they don't say what the deal is, but I think
Tyler Perry is an interesting individual, but that's a whole rabbit hole we could go down another time. But he's a very interesting individual. Will they ever meet? That could be a whole nother play.
Yeah. Well, will they ever meet? It'll be like
if they meet their relationship. That's a great piece too. Maybe
it'll be like
that
play with the two basketball players.
Oh,
Bird
Johnson. Was it Bird Johnson?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
But it did have the bird.
Yeah, it had the bird.
Okay. Part of it. That's right.
We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a song from A Strange Loop.
Oh, good choice.
We're going to listen to the song entitled A Strange Loop from Strange Loop. We'll be right back.
I am the story's writer. I'm barely.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. What a great conversation
we're
had.
We're here.
We're here. You can't get rid of us.
No.
You know who else is here?
Will
Cleveland is here.
Will Cleveland.
Hello. Oh,
Will.
Darn. You know what I...
Will Cleveland.
I missed a...
Will.
I missed
I gave him a theme song.
Okay, good.
What'd you miss?
You are the artistic director of Cold Town Theater.
Cold Town Theater. That's,
yep.
That's correct.
Spelled incorrectly.
Yeah. We're going to get to that.
It's not. No, I don't put a judgment. I was talking about the word town.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was talking about the word theater. But it is.
We are going to get to that.
Both ER and... Let's just be very clear, everybody.
All
both
right,
ER and RER correct. Uh-huh. And it is not the reason why most people think.
I think I know what you're going to say.
That
one is the building
and
one
the other is
the craft.
And that's not true.
That's not true.
No, it's not. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll go
we don't have to get right into it.
I will go ahead and plug the website right now because that is a difficult website to tell people about because you have to explain it.
No, it is, well, you do or you don't. I mean, some of us
had
foresight, bought both ER and RE and point to the one you want it to go to.
Sure. And let's be honest. If you just put Cold Town into your
search engine.
Your Google
search engine.
Yes.
Your Bing, if you will.
You will find us.
Yes.
But the website is coldtowntheater.com, and that's Cold Town with an E and theater with an ER.
Yeah, it's like the old
English
shopping.
Of you. Ye old shopping. Yes, it's very English of you.
Very
ye
old shopping.
Little ye old Cold Town.
Ye old Cold Town.
Cold Town is one of, I think, four improvisational theaters here in town.
Give or take.
We used to have five, before the institution went bye-bye.
We're barely one.
You're one. I say you're 1.75. You're almost
you know
two.
What? I'll agree with you on that one, Mrs. Sheps.
So just briefly, you've moved into a new home.
Yeah. So about almost 3 years ago to the day, we had a theater that was, we were operating for 15 years right out here on Airport Boulevard. So basically neighbors.
You just very close
take
to
a
here
ride out of this studio and go under 35 and we're right there. And if you hit the Lamy's candies, you've gone too far. the big candy cane. Anyway.
We know what Lamy's candies
are. Lamy's
yeah, we do.
Candies are good. You made me hungry.
Almost 3 years ago, we decided to close the theater. And not
you to decided to
yeah,
close?
We decided to close. We decided we wanted to do our classes on the internet. We decided we wanted to do some shows on the internet.
Was that around?
Just to see, you know.
Was that around March of 2020?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. March 13th, 2020. We got together. We decided, hey, let's close.
Let's shut the world down and let's just go online.
Let's shut it down.
No, you were trendsetters.
You were yeah. trendsetters.
Everybody seemed to follow in your footsteps after that.
We try to be. We try to be. So after almost 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, we were doing classes. We were doing shows. These are improv comedy classes, sketch writing classes, that sort of thing. We were doing those online. We had pop-up shows in a couple of venues like Violet Crown Clubhouse in Crestwood, Game On ATX in North Austin, which is like an interactive game show experience, and a few other places. And recently, in October, November of 2022, we leased a new space on the east side, on East 2nd Street.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I would like to say that, I mean, we talk on this show about theaters and venues and how difficult it is to have a venue because of the skyrocketing costs. You lost your venue.
We did.
Yeah. So I want to make it clear that just, you know, we love sarcasm on the show, but I want people to know that, you did not leave your home voluntarily.
That's right.
Yeah.
The building was sold, which we were leasing a part of the building, was sold. And now is a very lovely brewery. I recommend going. It's delicious. we did lose our space, and we decided to keep going.
Keep going. Yeah, that's good.
That's spectacular.
Have you been to the brewery, honestly?
I have. I bought a t-shirt.
You did? Okay, good. I have, my first theater is now a commercial kitchen. I have not gone.
Uh-huh.
But it's only been 15 years.
Well, so. What are you doing for lunch?
Yeah. Going to the commercial kitchen.
You can both wear your t-shirts and go over there.
But I love Coal Town. I've not gone to any classes or participated in anything in Coal Town, but I've seen shows
right.
there. And the folks that started it came from Chicago, or they're at least on the website, it talks about Chicago style long form improv.
That's right. They trained in Chicago. They were living in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, and they evacuated.
Not familiar.
They evacuated to
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, yeah. Like a lot of folks did. They started doing shows at the Hideout. They started teaching some classes, and
in 2006,
here they are.
You know, a few months after the hurricane, they found this little space on Airport. It was called Space.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Good.
Was it called? It wasn't a little space, though.
No.
Yeah.
I think it was called The Space.
The space.
This is before my time.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's amazing. And speaking of you, this is something I didn't know. You worked in New York at UCB.
I worked at UCB. I took classes. I produced shows. I produced videos.
So we have a connection then, because that where UCB is, a little underground place.
Under the Gristides.
Used to be the. Oh my God!
I haven't heard
Roundabout
Gristides in a
second
while.
Theater, and I worked there a whole bunch.
Is that right?
And it was a D'Agostino's, I think, before it was
I
a Gristides.
I believe it was a D'Agostino's.
As a matter of fact, we broke their door, the little Star Trek door. We broke it because the motor of it. I don't know if it still is. The motor was in the theater space because it was under.
Okay.
Did you call it
a Star Trek door?
I did.
Okay, that just was fantastic.
Have you heard the news?
What? Tell us.
I'll tell you later.
How to keep Lisa in suspense.
Yeah, it was like...
So, that is amazing. Whenever I hear about the New York Upright Citizens Brigade, I like to talk about how I used to be there, and that was roundabout space.
It was, one of the best experiences of my life, of being part of that community and coming up with those people. And when we left New York to come to Austin, it was very hard to leave that community.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And what's kind of cool about that is that a lot of those people that I was friendly with, that I took classes with, are on TV now. So it's like, and they were on TV, right after I left. A lot of them hit it really big. So it feels like I'm still hanging out with that community in a way. And also I found the Cold Town community, which, just as magical as the UCB community was. Yeah.
So awesome. Let's talk about the Cold Town community and what's going on at Cold Town. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. Well, we did open in late October, early November, and we've just been producing a lot of improv showcases, stand-up showcases. But here we are getting ready to premiere a lot of new shows. There's about 15 new shows that are going to be popping up this week, next week, and in February.
That's a lot.
I know.
It is a lot.
I know. You should see my inbox.
How many shows? So one of the things, I did spend some time over at the institution and went through their class system. And
that was a fun place.
It was a fun place. They would usually average like three different shows a night. How does it work for you guys at Cold Town?
It's similar. We're doing shows Thursday through Sunday, and Thursday there are two shows, Friday there are three, Saturday there are four, and then Sunday we get back down to two or three, just depending on the week.
So tell us, just give us a little touch of what is happening, like what's going on there this weekend that folks can go see.
Yeah, so we have a brand new show premiering tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's Friday at 7 p.m. It is called A Very Special Episode. It is an improvised sitcom.
That's my life.
I was just about to say, Lisa, it sounded like about us.
But so does it open on Friday or does it open on tomorrow? Because those are two different days.
Oh, yeah. I got my days mixed up there. It opens Friday.
Friday. Okay.
Friday at 7 p.m.
You have a whole bunch of people because our listeners would just run there tomorrow.
Yeah. We have like four or five stand-up shows that are going to be opening in the next month or so. And those are all going to be Friday nights at 10 o'clock. Once a month, a new host will come in.
Stand-up is... have you ever done stand-up?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Oh, God. That's hard.
I find... Well, I don't know if it's hard. I find that's the you have to have so much courage to do stand-up.
Yes.
Because every other form of theater, the audience is rooting for you. Yeah. They want you to succeed. But that's not the way in stand-up.
No.
Most of the time.
A lot of times it's not.
They sit there with their arms crossed and make me laugh. They want you to fail.
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah. It's
and
a
you
really,
don't
it's
have
hard.
Someone to work off
and
of
you don't have, you
besides
can't.
Being by your solo like, out there.
Yeah, because like if Nicole and I were out there and it was flopping, it's Nicole's fault.
It's Lisa's fault.
But yeah, even in the difference in improv and stand-up audiences are like that. Like,
yeah,
improv audiences are the epitome of support. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we get some hecklers at the stand-up shows, but we try to be an example to folks, and it's also Cold Town's a school. We have classes in improv and sketch comedy, but it's also an educational experience to the audience,
sure,
to come in and discover something new, and sometimes that's just how to behave, in the theater.
Let's talk about February because actually we're sitting here chit chatting away. We're running out of time.
Okay,
it's going rather fast.
What's happening in February?
I would love to plug some shows. The Rose is coming back, and if
with Bette Midler,
not that Rose.
Oh, because that would be incredible. I would go.
Wouldn't that be great? This is a bachelorette style.
I think we had people on talking about that when you back
maybe
in the day.
It's
with
a
the
tradition
Rose.
At Cold Town. We do it once a year, usually around Valentine's Day is when it happens.
Which happens to be in February.
It happens to be in February. Yep. So that's going to run.
Isn't that magical how that worked?
February 4th. February 10th, a Friday, we have a show that we did last year. It's going to be a new tradition. It's called Young, Funny, and Black. It's a black comedian showcase.
Amazing.
It's going to have improv and stand-up in it.
Fantastic.
And then we have some special guest artists coming the weekend of February 16th. They're the Kakowski siblings, Liz and Craig Kakowski. And
love them. We used to do Christmas with them.
You did?
No.
Well, you may not know their names, but you definitely know their faces. They've been in, you know, Veep and Community and a lot of sitcoms. They're
amazing.
Well revered in the improv community, and they're going to be doing workshops and shows.
Oh, great.
That's fun.
Well, so you had mentioned the classes, and yeah. Coal Town, like other improv theaters here, sustain themselves at a great deal on their classes. And I've said it on this show so often that my listeners probably know it. Improv classes and working on improv is so important.
Life skills.
All of your life skills, mm-hmm. not just your artistic ones. And so where would folks go to get information about classes, about shows, about anything?
Yeah.
Coal Town.
Have you heard about this website, coldtowntheater?
Goes around, comes around.
Yeah. It's just, you know, search it. Your search engine, Coal Town.
Yeah, Coal Town Theater. I do want to make a little plug for your website. They have something that I just, you have a glossary, improv glossary that I just
It's
loved.
A work in progress, yeah.
Well, I know. Mm-hmm. I just love the idea.
It's in every glossary.
And of course, being in alphabetical order, you know what the very last entry was.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's what should be the first.
Is should that, be the first.
Right.
But it's the last. You're saving the best for last.
Uh-huh.
It's yes and.
Yes and.
Yes and. Yeah.
Which I think improv teaches the world that the world should operate on yes and.
Oh,
it really should.
You know what? I like that rule. Let's implement it.
Yep. It makes things easier once you get used to doing it because the default is yes, but, you know,
right.
Which is you're still saying yes.
But you know everything before the but doesn't count.
But you don't. You really don't want to do it if you're saying yes, but.
Correct. But it also, and the lovely thing about improv is, as you're being taught, is that you don't deny your partner. You know, so if your partner says something, you don't say, oh, no, that's not what that is at all. It's something else. And so it's always about support and building. So I think that's great. Well, Will, thank you so much
for
being on the show.
This is awesome sauce.
We'll have to have you on more often.
Thank mm-hmm. you both. I had fun. This radio station is important to me, so I feel like I'm on hallowed ground. So thank
we
you.
We improvised on the show and once back in the day.
Improv.
I feel like we need to
Let's do
bring
it.
That
we
back
need to do
again.
It. Well, maybe we'll do another improv thing we'll where we get a whole bunch of improv
yeah.
groups. And
yeah,
I
we'll
think
do
we should
we'll
do
a
that.
Skit.
That'd be fun.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
And that was Will Cleveland of Coal Town Theater. For more information about Coal Town, for their performances and their classes, please visit coaltowntheater.com. And this is from Drowsy Chaperone. It's called Cold Feet.
Cold Feet. Cold Feet. Brother, you got cold feet.
And we are back. You are listening to Lisa and Nicole on Offstage and on the Air, streaming this puppy. At what's it streaming on?
KOOP.org.
Yeah, you won't get that very often.
And, no.
I do want to say that I was great talking to Will, and I can't believe fun
stuff, man.
And he has been replaced here in the studio by somebody else. And
I'd like to introduce
Stephanie. Okay. I didn't get to ask you the pronunciation of your last name before the show, so here goes. From Walking Shadow Shakespeare, Stephanie Crignola.
All right. Yeah, pretty close.
All right, close. Give us the real one.
It's Crignola.
No, I was nowhere near that. Yeah. Crignola, Italian?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very.
Yeah, da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. Okay, let's talk local stuff. I do want to take this moment, because actually this is where Stephanie and I met, to just remind folks about atxtheater.org.
Yes.
This is not just for theater people. As a matter of fact, we'd love to see a lot of theater lovers come and be members of this site. In the site, it has lots of theater listings, theater articles, stuff for audiences, stuff for theater makers, stuff for everything. And you can get information
ATXtheater.org.
ATXtheater.org.
Just stuff there for everyone so they can learn how and find out more about, they can love, see, be involved, do, make, create, see, and support theater.
And one of the things that ATX Theater wants to do is really reach out and get a lot more of the theater going community, not just, we don't want to just be preaching to the choir.
No.
Or preaching to the converted, or just preaching. We don't want to preach.
No.
Preach. So atxtheater.org.
It's tools to find your jam.
Hopefully at some point we'll get these folks onto the program, but in just a few days, next week, Zach opens along with Deaf Austin Theater, Cinderella.
Yes, the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella.
That is the one, as opposed to Sondheim Cinderella.
I don't know. I mean, I do have Andrew Lloyd Webber's Bad Cinderella going on. Oh, there is some Cinderella going on.
We do have Bad Cinderella.
Newest updated version of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella.
And folks familiar with Ground Floor Theater will know that a lot of folks that worked with us involved with this show as well. It is being co-directed by Brian Cheslick and
Michael Barron,
and then it's gonna leave Zach and go off to Oklahoma City and play at the.
So,
nope, never mind. No, forget that I ever said that. We don't know what's gonna happen to it, but you can get information at zachtheater.org. Also playing right now are the same things that were playing last week. Because we just started going. We have Ride the Wave at the Vortex, plays through the 28th. We have The Sound Inside over Ground Floor Theater. And I do want to say that I saw the show, and it's good really
stuff.
Good. It's
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, I read a nice little review on it.
Rebecca Robinson, who I just love dearly, always rocks. And David Jarrett of Jarrett Productions directed it and did a great job. And the set is beautiful. That's happening at Ground Floor Theater. You've got two more weeks to see that. I will say that David is doing something very interesting. He's having two additional performances with the understudies.
Yes.
Which is Helen Marino.
I was supposed to say Helen Marino, and now I forgot the gent's name.
And I forgot the gent's name.
I know. So, bad Nicole.
Yep. Frontera Fest is happening even as
we speak.
Isn't
that exciting? And I'm back in action. Some at Ground Floor also.
Nope, not at Ground Floor. It's the only short film. We did not do the Long Fringe this time.
That's right.
But I'm just going to tell you the order this week. It changes every week. There are they've got shows tonight. I don't know.
I'm impressed you have the schedule to know what's going on this week. I've been looking. There's some fun stuff up there.
So here's what's happening. I believe tomorrow. Alex Garza's The Crushed Ice That Lingers in My Head. Brine 14, Count Your Blessings by Stuart Hirsch. The General and the Particulars. A short story by Jen Brown, and I'm going to just, because I love Carl Gonzalez, he wrote a show called La Planchada. It's a commission through Scriptworks. It's a play about a pair of friends, a historian and a YouTuber, teaming up to find out if the legend and ghost of La Planchada, or Ironed Lady, is real or fake. What happens will test their faith, their culture, and their sanity. And there's a lot of really good folks in that. The cool thing about Frontera Fest, as we learned last week, is these are 25 minutes or less.
Yes.
So if you don't like one thing, stick around for the next.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday night, we have United States of America, an awesome Ted Cruz story by Peter Parson. It is directed by a cohort of mine at the Institution Theater, Mason Pitluck, who's amazing.
What a clever little name.
There Are Butterflies in Cairo by Raymond V. Whelan. Future Past Tense by Heather Thiel. Your Zany Valentine, Comedy Improv from the Heart by the Dog Joggers. Love that. And then Neil Dorsey Does Rap by Neil Dorsey. And on Friday, sorry, I can't. I'm busy. I have a war tonight. By Franny Harold. The Misplays by Aaron Rubin, Adrian Guarez, Ashley Park, and Derek Cornelius. Halfway to Death, A Coming of Middle Age Escapade, know all about that, by Christine Wong, former board member of Ground Floor Theater. Blank, You Must Be on Crack by Sandy Marinato. And then Cabaret Wonderland by Kelsey Meringi, who bills herself as the resident stage manager for Ground Floor Theater.
Okay, I love that.
She wrote this and is directing it. It says, come fall down the rabbit hole and explore a tale we all know too well. The treacherous traps of dazzling nightlife. A journey to find balance in all things set to the music of Caravan Palace and Suburban, which I believe are local groups here in town.
I love that. It's a lot of really good stuff. There really is something for everyone.
And then each night they vote on the best, and then those then come back on Saturday night for Best of the Fest. And it changes every week.
Yes. That's exciting.
Okay. Totally running out of time. But I do want to say I went to see Pretty Woman last night. Not
with
my
Adam
favorite.
Pascal, yeah.
With Adam Pascal, who mm-hmm. was in the original Rent, played Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Underwhelmed, but I have a problem with the piece. I have a problem with the subject matter. I have a problem with everything about it. But here's what I'm going to rant about. And I should say that, oh, by the way, it's playing through the end of the week. It's easy to watch. It's fun to see.
The fun lines that you do like from the movie are in there. It's all original music, though, so don't go in there going to think you're hearing the soundtrack of it. It's all by Bryan Adams. It's the summer of 69,
so anyway,
but that's not in there.
No, it's not.
But that's the dude.
Here's my problem with this show and others. So there are shows out there. I won't name them, Mamma Mia, where the show goes, it happens, the curtain call happens and finishes, and then they do another number. Now, that's all well and good if you love the show and you want to stay, but if you don't love the show and you want to leave, you feel rude leaving, which is what I did last night. I just did not want to stay for another number. And I think once you do the curtain call, you should complete
the show.
There's
a good amount of shows that do that.
I know. And I'm telling them to stop.
Well,
I'm telling them to stop. Anyway,
you want me to call Bryan Adams?
I do. I'm going to skip today in theater history. There's lots of good stuff, but one of the things it's the birthday of Danny Kaye.
Oh.
When I wanted to play some music from Danny Kaye, I did my usual search, Danny Kaye original cast. And I came up with this album, which I cannot believe I never heard of before.
What is it?
It's called Give My Regards to Broadway. Well, actually, it's before Give My Regards to Broadway, it says Tallulah Bankhead, Give My Regards to Broadway. And it is an entire
cast
album of Tallulah Bankhead singing show tunes along with other people.
I have seen this on the. Did you get the whole album? You were just so excited.
Did not get the whole album because I can't afford it.
But what'd you find?
But lots of stuff. Put It There with Bob Hope. Here Comes the Spring with Joan Davis. My favorite, which I almost wanted to play, was Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better
with
Marlena Dietrich.
Oh.
Oh my God, it's amazing. So
anything you can do.
So let's go so we make sure we have plenty of time to talk to
Stephanie. Oh my goodness,
Stephanie.
That's fantastic.
This is How Could You Believe Me with Danny Kaye. We'll be right back.
How can you believe me when I said I love you when you know I've been a liar all my life?
I love me.
That's fantastic.
Some Danny Kaye.
I'll get the I love me Danny Kaye too. Well, yeah. That's why we like
love me
White
some
Christmas,
Danny Kaye.
But I'll get that. I'll purchase that next song for offstage. And we can get.
No, it's quite all right.
Marlena Dietrich. That'd be my contribution.
Yeah. Good stuff. So let's talk about one of the new arrivals here to the Austin theater scene.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that is Walking Shadow Shakespeare. And we have the founder of that organization here. Let's see if I can do this. I can't. I already forgot.
Nope, it's like lasagna.
Stephanie
there we go.
What's your last name?
Crignola.
Yeah. It's not that hard, but...
you could do that.
I was just too much pressure. I fold under pressure.
I hear you.
Stephanie, tell us about Walking Shadow Shakespeare.
Yeah, so I started Walking Shadow 11 years ago because nobody in my area in New England was doing Shakespeare, and I wanted Shakespeare to be happening, so I figured if no one else was going to do it, I should start doing it.
Yep.
And 11 years later, Here we are. Most of our stuff recently has been, I made an educational program. We go into schools and do like an interactive, abridged version of Shakespeare. And then our one rehearsal Shakespeare show, which I started because I moved out of New England and wanted to keep doing shows with my friends. So one weekend, one rehearsal, one show.
Up in New England.
Well, this year it's going to be in Austin.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's really
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's right. And so one weekend, one rehearsal. Mm-hmm. How long is that rehearsal?
It's about 6 to 8 hours, depending on... We block out the whole day and then do whatever we need without totally exhausting all of our actors.
Do we perform with scripts in hand?
We do not.
We do not.
We are fully memorized.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Do we memorize before the first rehorsal?
We do. So we cast it all
on
Zoom.
So it's more than 6 hours.
We do a whole remote casting, and then we do some check-ins online through the process, do some character building that way. We have a great spreadsheet. I love spreadsheets. So we use that.
Who doesn't?
I know.
I'm waiting for Spreadsheet the Musical.
We could
surprise
write that.
It hasn't happened.
Yeah, I know.
So that is great. And what when you're doing these in the schools, at what age group are you doing them for?
So we've primarily done 7th to 9th grade, so middle to high school.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And are your choices of plays the more palatable plays? I mean, you're not doing Cymbeline, guessing.
We are doing Cymbeline here for our one rehearsal. Surprise, surprise. Cymbeline is one of those like Shakespeare's greatest hits. If you want to do a Shakespeare, why not do them all in one play? But the school programs are usually Romeo and Juliet, right. Twelfth Night, Julius Caesar.
Cool.
They're all good.
They're all good.
Oh.
Et tu, Brute. That's
like
all I have to say. Some people like Shakespeare, some people not so much.
Yeah.
It's not everybody's cup of tea. Something Rotten, by the way, was the thing I was trying to remember.
With Adam Pascal.
Yes.
If you want to remember.
That's true. Something Rotten, and there's a song that has Will in it. Not the Will. I forgot the title of it. Yeah. That's what I should have played for Will Cleveland.
Yeah.
Something Rotten. What a fun show.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah. So if it's one of it, boy, I was so pleasantly surprised when I saw that.
Yeah.
All right. So where were we? I lost my train of thought. So then let's talk about when did you come to Austin? Because I'm going to say this because you and I just met 2 weeks ago. I am relatively involved in the theater community here. So I thought you had just met, but when I look at your resume, I see a lot of Barron's Men on there, which is an Austin company.
Yeah, I moved here almost 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so the first year that I was here, I went back, I did my one rehearsal show back in New England, and then we were set to do another one in 2020. We all know what happened, and then I've been kind of...
I don't, actually.
Working my way back from there. Okay. So that's why it's taken until now for me to... bring it here.
So you keep saying New England.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you that
New England
is a relatively large piece of geography.
Yep. Where?
So we've done shows, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, which is why I kind of lump it together. But all of our park shows happened in Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Oh, did we? Did you and I talk about Pawtucket?
We did. Yeah, the bucket.
Blank Pawtucket, the land of the dead,
yeah.
And the Pawthox. Yes.
Yeah.
Know all about Pawtucket. I've spent a lot of time in Pawtucket, actually.
Many years doing in Rhode Island with my family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My cousin Vinny is from Rhode Island.
Yes.
There you go.
She has a cousin. Our listeners know about my cousin.
He's now in Boston, but I do have a My Cousin Vinny.
So we've actually just got like 2 more minutes left. You are doing Cymbeline.
We are. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So Cymbeline I love because like I said, it's like Shakespeare took every single one of his plots that he had already done. And he's like, how about it again? And this one, and this one, and this one. Look what I can do, all of these things. But at heart, it's a fairy tale, and it has redemption and hope and reunion, and it's just a really beautiful story.
And you are doing it in the schools here. This is a one rehearsal show.
So that's the one rehearsal show.
Am I in it?
Do you want to be?
Yes.
Well, find more information at walkingshadowshakespeare.com.
So where you're doing it when and where?
May 28th in Ramsey Park.
In Ramsey Park.
I love
this is not, this is for The public?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a park show.
Okay, cool. And you're also going to be busing in students, or are you just going to be getting the audience you can get?
Any audience we can get. Okay. And then hopefully once we're established, the education program we can bring here and start to build.
Cool. Now, I know the answer to this, but my listeners may not. Where's Ramsey Park?
It is in the Rosedale neighborhood.
Okay. Good. That's about.
I'm still too new to Austin to give you street.
You did good.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to push back on that. 5 years is not too new.
fair.
But I get it.
You've been stuck in your home for half of them.
Yeah. And are you looking for people to get more involved in your theater company?
Always and absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where would folks go to get information about everything in your theater company and to learn how to connect with you?
Yeah, we are at walkingshadowshakespeare.com, also on Facebook, Walking Shadow Shakespeare Project, and Instagram at WS Shakes.
WS Shakes. Well, I love it. And it only took me 10 minutes to figure out where you got Walking Shadow from. But then once I got it, I said, I can't believe it took that long. But I'm not the smartest. My elevator does not go all the way to the tool shed.
You got it. That's not true.
I did get it. Well, Stephanie, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I hope to have you back on the show.
Absolutely.
Okay, and here's, I'm going to give you a job. When I say your first name, you say your last name. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. That was Stephanie
Craniola
of Walking Shadow Shakespeare. For more information, you may visit walkingshadowshakespeare.com. And I was looking for a walking song.
It's a good one, though.
Yes, but Nicole, this version is for you. This is Walking in Space. You're going to need to know that. Okay, that was Walking in Space from the Japanese company of hair. And amazingly enough, this recording is from 1970, so it's been around.
Well, hair is a good one. It's old. I'm just thinking recently someone needs to do hair.
Anyway, we are done. We're out of time. Austin Common Radio Hour is next. I don't even have time to ask John Hoffner what he's doing, but I'm sure it's something that you want to hear. So stick around for the Austin Common Radio Hour. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody. Oh.